So B'siyata D'Shmaya, we're up to, in Hilchos Bishalachim, the second shir, we're up to Si'iv Dalet, Simin Kuf Yud Gimel Si'iv Dalet. But before we begin Si'iv Dalet, we had discussed Olal Shulchan Malachim in a few different contexts. So I just want to give you another few Lamaisa discussions, Diyunim, about Olal Shulchan Malachim, and again, about the fourth shir, we'll get to more detailed bottom line, but a few fascinating diyunim. What happens if you have something that's olal shulchan malachim in the place that it's made, but the place that it goes to is not olal shulchan malachim? So that I found that the Kaf HaChaim has a discussion about that question. And the Kaf HaChaim seems to say, here I found the Machlokes Achronim. The Kaf HaChaim seems to say that you will go l'chumra in either direction. In other words, if you have something, the example that he gives is as follows. He quotes an Arizal, fascinating Kaf HaChaim. He quotes an Arizal that seems to disagree with our Ramah, that we learned a Ramah in Si'iv Beis, that the Ramah said, "Umutar lechol afonim kluyim shel akum." This was a certain type of bean that had been roasted. So he quotes the Arizal, who says, "Dalfanim min adin asurin," because he says it's olin al shulchan malachim. So this has been revealed, a tension that we have, and the tension is whether olal shulchan malachim really is universal. Dainu, the Ramah assumed that it wasn't Olal Shulchan Malachim, and the Arizal assumed that it is. So the Kaf HaChaim comments, this is in Sif Katan Chaf, in our Simin, Umashma Gamla Diver Ari, Dim Yodua She'en Ochen Bosa Mokum She'kolen Oso Shari. So he says the Arizal was assuming that in that area they do kings do eat it. Umiu continues the Kaf HaChaim. Ibn Makam shekolim osam olim. Vesholchen osam lamakam acher she'en olim. Nistapik bazeh harav chaim sha'al. He quotes the Chida, that the Chida is mesupak. So what was the case of the Chida? He was talking about a case where it's made in a place that it's ola al shulchan malachim, and then it was sent to a place that's not ola al shulchan malachim. And says the Kaf HaChaim the inverse as well. V'nira duha din behepich. Dimimokim shekolim osan ein olim. Mokim achar shulchan osam. Diyesh lahachmir lefi divrei Arizal. He claims that according to the Arizal, you would have to be machmir. It's not exactly clear to me what his diuk from the Arizal is, so we won't talk about the Arizal's position, we'll talk about the Kaf HaChaim's position. The Kaf HaChaim says that the halacha is that you have to be machmir if in either of the two places it's olal shulchan malachim. And he says that by past halacha is different. I did find that Rav Sternbuch, I'm not sure if Rav Sternbuch is aware of this, but Rav Sternbuch disagrees with this psak of the Kaf HaChaim. He discusses, Rav Sternbuch discusses in the end of Simin Reish Nun the following phenomenon. He says that he saw that the Posek, you might not recognize his name, but it became a very famous book, even a controversial book. There's the famous Tznius book that came out of Manchester. It's known to have very unique shitas by Rav Falk. The Mechaber was just nifter this past year. So he quotes, Rav Sternbuch quotes Rav Falk, that says that also like this Kaf HaChaim, that if it starts off at a place that's an olal shulchan malachim and goes to a place that's not olal shulchan malachim, Rav Falk said that's aser. So Rav Sternbuch has an interesting response. Rav Sternbuch says, what would you say about chaticha ruya l'skabed? If you have a piece of meat that's ru'uya l'skabed, and then it goes to another place that's not ru'uya l'skabed. So Rav Sternbuch says it's a davar pashut, that the halacha is that we would treat it as an ain ru'uya l'skabed. You look at what it is at the particular place that it's at. So he argues that there should be no difference between the two, that it's not that you'll look at where it is, Basher Usham, if it's considered Ola al Shulchan Lachem. It's not like Macholos Asuras, that once it becomes Asur, then it has a Chalos Isur. No, it's like the Din of Bittel, that when it comes to Chatich Ruliskabe, it's dependent on time and place. So you could probably think of examples of American foods that would not be Ola al Shulchan Lachem in England. That would be an example. So maybe somebody could give us a practical example. You'll take a food, an American food, that would not be Ola al Shulchan Lachem in England, but would be Ola al Shulchan Lachem in America. Oh, we spoke about Donald Trump liking hamburgers. So I can't imagine Queen Elizabeth eating hamburgers. Princess Diana, that I don't know. But Queen Elizabeth, she wouldn't eat a hamburger. So particularly in Buckingham Palace. But your president, not mine. But when it comes to, although I'm very thankful for many things, but nevertheless, that it could very well be that it depends on where you are. If you're in America, it's one place, and then if it's in England, it might have a different thing. Yes, Zach.
But anyone who goes
correct
and Malchus, so we are handling like big Rebbes today. You know, with the serve the Rebbe, the Tish, when he goes with Malchus and like very Chashivas, so they're going to serve him potato kugel and things that we'll eat that in any other place in the world obviously wouldn't be oil, shulchan malchim, herring, and chule.
Right.
If we have our servant cook us potato kugel, that fall under
right. I didn't think so, because it, I think Malachim would not yet qualify as Man Malchei Rabbanan. We're Mirtz Hashem, we'll get to that point, but I don't think that the ones who are really, really yet the Malachim are the Rabbanan, and therefore I would say it still goes by the people who are truly express the power. But it's an interesting question. It's a fascinating question. What happens if you have an autonomous community? You have in Skver, or in places that are mamish autonomous communities. But still, Afal Pikain. We could discuss the political reasons why another time, but I think that it wouldn't qualify. Interesting question that comes up is, what happens if you have a food that at times is Ola al Shulchan Malachim, but at times is generally not. In other words, let's say you take rice and so on. So rice generally is not Ola al Shulchan Malachim, but there are times that you can make it into something that's really, really, really nice, that would be Ola al Shulchan Malachim. So here, in my notes, I have a reference to a shach in Kuf Yud Beis. Si'if Hei, won't do it inside, it's not in our simon that we're up to right now, but the shach seems to talk about that when it comes to Pasakum, which is not our topic right now, there, it depends on how it's made. So it could very well be that you would adjust to how it's made, that if it's made in a way it's Ola al Shulchan Malachim, then the food itself will be subject to that din. My understanding is that that's what Rav Nevensal Shlita's Mahalach is as well. However, when it comes to meat, so there in the Sefer Macholei Nachrim, I'm not sure if this is a machlokis. Macholei Nachrim is an interesting Sefer. Mirtz Hashem will be back into the Beis Medrash. I'll show it to you. The Sefer Macholei Nachrim deals with what happens if you have a piece of meat that's very, very lean, that you wouldn't serve al Shulchan Malachim. It's not juicy. It's very, very lean. So there, he said that you go, when it comes to meat, even if that particular piece of meat is not very mechubad, you go after the min in general. So it's a dion whether that's a stira to what I said above about rice, or you would say no, you go lechumra. In other words, the min that generally is Ola al Shulchan Malachim, then even if it happens to be that that particular piece is not nice, then you would say that it's going to be still subject to Bishul Akum. But rice, which generally is not, if you make it into something that's mamish Ola al Shulchan Malachim, so then in such a case, the halacha would be that it's still subject to Bishul Akum. In regards to an ochel that's only eaten arai, you have an ochel that's only eaten not kavua. It's eaten, arai would be best translated in a transient way. You don't eat it as part of a su'uda. Now, you have things that are not part of the su'uda that are definitely not eaten in a transient way, like desserts and so on. It's not part of the su'uda, but that would be pashtus be considered olal shulchan malachim. But what happens if you have foods that are eaten in a transient way? Rav Sternbuch has an example of chocolate. He says that chocolate is not subject to bishlakim. This is a big hether, that chocolate is not subject to bishlakim. It's quoted in the sefer that I've mentioned to you, the Otzer Bishul Akum. He gives some good marimekomos. He quotes a sefer, Toras Chaim. It's in the sefer Otzer Bishul Akum in page Kuf Lamed Vav, that he says that he lists many poskim who say that arai is going to be not subject to Bishul Akum, and that would be a big heter when it comes to chocolate and other types of food that are not eaten arai. We're listing off different applications of Olal Shulchan Malachim. The last one is a fascinating diuk in the Rambam. The last question is, does it apply to foods, or does it also apply to drinks? Is there a problem with Bishul Akum when it comes to drinks? Sometimes you have these fancy punches or these fancy drinks that are served at bars and so on that are heated up, etc., etc. Is that part of Bishul Akum, or does it only apply to Ochel? A fascinating question. So I saw that Achronim make a brilliant diuk in the Rambam. If you look in the Rambam, Perik Yud Zayin, Halacha Yud Dalid, the Rambam says, Goy shebisha lonu yayin, o cholav, o dvash, o prishin, u kayotze be'elu, mikol davar nechol kamo shuchai. If a goy cooks up milk, it's not subject to Bishul Akum because it's a davar nechol chai. So here what we have is that because milk is drunk cold, is drunk not cooked, so then in such a case, it's not subject to Bishul Akum. But what if I gave you a drink that is only drunk cooked, like some type of punch that's made out of cranberries or something like that, that you would never drink, those cranberries are never drunk cold. So then in such a case, it might be subject to the halacha of Bishul Akum. So that's a fascinating, it doesn't come up too much lemaisa, but it's a fascinating diuk in the Rambam, that the Rambam, when he speaks about these things, speaks about drinks as well. Geschmack. Okay. So Rabosai, we're up to Si'if Dalet. The Mechaber says as follows, Yesh mi shematir b'shvacho shelonu v'yesh mi she'osar afilu b'dieved. So this is based on a Ramban. The Ramban says that it could be that when it comes to a shifcha, so there the iser of Bishul Akum does not apply. If you take a look, we don't even need to go to the tour. If you take a look at the Shach in Sifkat and Zayin, the Shach says that what was based on is the following. Sheknu yoslanu, de melacha de Akum de Yisraelu, umuzar lov bishabis min haTorah. So the simple understanding of this heter of the Ramban is that this goes back to the time of slavery. So in the time of slavery, then I don't mean slavery of pre-Abraham Lincoln. I mean slavery that's even Torah slavery, Torah serfdom. So then the halacha is that a shifcha had an iser to work on Shabbos. You weren't allowed to let your shifcha work. In contrast, most people who have a housekeeper, one of the main reasons that they get them as a housekeeper is that there's someone in the house that's not keeping Shabbos. But when you had a shifcha of an akum, she had to keep Shabbos. She was mechuyevas and mitzvahs. So then she's not part of the yisr of Bishul Akum. As the Shach explains, four lines in, v'hilkach leisei b'glal gzeres chasnus. They're not included in the Isser of Chasnus. So that's the Pshat. Yesh mi shematir b'shvacho shelanu, v'yesh mi she'oser afilu b'dieved. And then there are some who say no, that it's Aser b'dieved. Why? So if you take a look at the Gra in Sifkatan Yud, the dissenting view on the Ramban is the Rajba, that he says that Kivan de'en yodea b'tiv avodas kochavim, ein Aser elam shum chasnus, Dulahachi ain't aser ella bishtia lirav ubishvachos vaavodim lo shaykh. So The problem is that today it's not so clear who is considered an Akum amongst the Avadim and who is considered a full Shifcha. And therefore, the Rajba says that the halacha is that one needs to be Machmir. So here, the Shach points out that there's something really strange that's going on in the Mechaber. What's strange in the Mechaber is that the Mechaber is talking about a case of a Shifcha that's a Din Torah of a Shifcha. So the Shach immediately points out that Moshe already says, Bahanach Shvachos Mayre Mechaber, Avolo B'Shvachos Shalanu, that the Shulchan Aruch is really not contemporary, because it's not talking about our Shvachos. Sheba Artzis Elu Shein Knuyis Lanu, Rak Shenizkeru L'Shana, we employ our housekeepers. We, even if we call it a Shifcha, we employ them. And therefore, they're not considered Jews in any way. Ve'ein Anu Muzar Na'alehem B'Shabbos, and we're not commanded to make sure that they don't work on Shabbos. And therefore, says the Shach, that it would seem that our shvachos don't fall into the category that the Mechaber was talking about. And therefore, the Shach questions the Ramah's next line. The Ramah says, "Ubidieved yesh lismoch adivrei matirim," that bidieved, the food is not going to be aser, because you can rely on the matirim. So the question is, how could the Ramah say that? So the Shach is going to present a few different explanations of why we could be makel even with our shvachos. The first explanation is you can't. You can't be makel with our shvachos. It's only talking about shvachos bizman ha-Torah. And that's what the Mechaber was referring to. Or, the Shach suggests, a couple of other explanations. O Ratzalomer, continuing on, I would say, two-fifths of the way through the Shach, Sivkot and Zayin. O Ratzalomer, di'esh lismoch ha-divrei ha-metirim b'shulei ha-akum be-beis Yisrael. V'hu das Rabbeinu Avram. Here we're introduced to a fascinating shita of Rabbeinu Avram. It's not clear that Rabbeinu Avram, many refer to him as the Ravid. It's probably not the Ravid, because Tosas quotes it as the Rav Avram. It's probably not the Baal HaSogas Ravid. But whoever this Rabbeinu Avram is, Rabbeinu Avram is of the opinion that when it comes to the Isser of Bishul Akum, it only applies Bibayus Shel Goy. It doesn't apply Bibayis Shel Yisrael. And the reason for that is because when you're having a worker, that's not the Chshash of Chasnus. The Chshash of Chasnus is not by a worker. The Chshash of Chasnus is when you're going as a guest to somebody's house, when you're being hosted by them. But simply a worker, that's not going to be the Chshash of Bishul Akum. And therefore, this is quoted in Tesis on Daf Lamed Ches in Avodah Zarah, and therefore the Shach suggests that maybe we were mitzaref this, the idea that's true, that our shvachos are not the shvachos as bizmanam, but maybe we're being makel the sheet of a Rabbeinu Avram that's quoted in the Torah, it's quoted in the Darkei Moshe, that says that if it's in our house, it doesn't apply. Now this is a very, very important yediyah, because this might be relevant in terms of housekeepers as well. Are housekeepers subject to all dinim of Bishul Akum? So we start as follows. If you take a look at the Mechaber, he says, oh, by Shvachos Shalanu there's some who makel, and Bidieved the Ramah is makel. So we would come out, just with a simple reading, if we're Ashkenazim, that we wouldn't rely on it Lechatchila, but maybe Bidieved. What's the reason that Bidieved we're going to be makel? So says the Shach, his first reason that we're makel Bidieved is because we have the Heter of the Ravid, that the Ravid said that when it comes to the house of Yisrael, then that Iser does not apply. So this would not help us lichatchila. Lichatchila, to allow one's housekeeper to do Bishul Akum, would not be acceptable. However, when it comes to Bidieved, according to this explanation, there might be room to be makel. We'll continue on expanding on that a little bit, but first let's finish with the Shach. The Shach then gives another explanation for the Ramah. This is three-fifths of the way through the Shach Zayin. So So he says maybe there's another svara, and that is that it only applies to someone who's being gracious. Someone who's inviting you over, someone who's being gracious to you, then there's a chash that you're going to come lidei chasnus. However, if we're talking about a case of where the person's the employer, right? The nature of an employee is that they want to do their work and run away. They want to be free. They don't want to have to work. So then the entire mindset of chasnus is entirely not there. The entire mindset of chasnus is not there. By the way, unfortunately, that's not always true. Unfortunately, people become too comfortable with the people that work in their house. It's not that argument of the Marshal, even though on a certain level makes sense. I don't know if what the Marshal is saying is Lamaisa. And in fact, the Marshal himself backs down to it. If you look at the 4/5 through the Shach, towards the end of the Shach, he concludes, V'anu noeg in Yisra filu b'dievet, that we're not makel for this, we're noeg l'chumra. V'cheinu b'tshuvas harajba, fizi yeshlam b'tisvar samatish kasa mechaber b'tam ze, ulaze kasa rav, de yishishmach alim b'dievet, el debes yosa darke moshe lo nisker. So this svara is not one that we paskin with, and therefore, it could very well be that when the Ramah said b'dievet yesh lismoch, the Ramah was not talking about our instances. However, the Shach's middle svara is still relevant, that maybe you could be mitzaref the shitas harayvet. So if you take a look in the Sefer Chelkas Binyamin, Sif Katan Mem, he gives us what might be a big heter b'dieved, if it turns out that a housekeeper cooked food, and that really was a problem of Bishul Akum. He rules as follows. He says, "Uleinyan alacha nira midivrei hataz vagra deika tarti ledivusa." The gra. Let's take a look at the gra because it really goes well with the shach. The gra in Yud Aleph goes with the shach's second pshat. Take a look at gra mitzura fludas harayve b'taisvus, that you're mitztarev the shita of the raivet, that there isn't bishul akum in a Jewish home. It's only going to a Gentile home. And therefore, look at this, the Chelkas Binyamin is mekel. Dehechadika tarktivusa, dehainu shein shvachos schuros, if, number one, they're employed, and number two, va'och ha'bishul beis Yisrael, yesh lahakel b'dieved, v'hainu demutu lechol atavshil. Now, of course, this is not to be misconstrued, that we said that the halacha is that there's no shaila bishul akum for a housekeeper. That we didn't say. This is a tziruf of kulos. But b'di'eved, this is an important heter. And this happens all the time. In other words, the mother knows that she has to turn on the pilot light. She knows that she needs to do something to make sure that's not bishul akum. And we're going to discuss what that is. And realizes that it wasn't. So if they're honest, they would call the rav and they would say, is the food mutter? So here, you'll answer him, Yirtzeh Hashem. You'll say, well, b'dieved, we could be makel if A, you employ them, and B, it takes place in a Jewish home. So that ravid, that wild ravid, becomes halacha l'maisa. So Binyamin asked, would we assume that the mechaber was talking about a case of real biblical slavery or not? That's the question. That's an open question. The Shach says maybe he was only talking about that. And the Shach then tries to answer if there is another explanation to try to suggest. And that's where we have this heter, lemaisa, to rely on the Ravid. Okay, Rabosai, now where we're up to is a fascinating question that begins in Sif Hei, but takes us to a few places. Oh, one more thing. One more interesting psak from my Rebbe before I go on. Rav Nevensal Shlita was asked, could you use this heter for wedding halls? In other words, does the Ravid's Yesod apply particularly to a Jewish home? Dafka Jewish home? What about a Jewish-owned business? So, the devil is in the details, so let me read you the exact shaila that was asked to Rav Nevensal. Poel nachri shemevashel b'chanus shel Yisrael olam smachot. What happens if they were cooking in these two settings, a store or a wedding hall? what would the halacha be if there was bishul akum? Does the ravid apply to that case as well? So Rav Nevinzal answered, "Mistaber da havi kibishul bebeis Yisrael." Rav Nevinzal was mekel and said that it would have the din of beis Yisrael. If that's so, then what would emerge is that bidyeved, according to Rav Nevinzal, if you had food that was cooked by a Gentile employee, even in a wedding hall or in a store, then in such a case, if you go with the Chelkas Binyamin saying that you could be mitzaref, the psakim of the shach, then that would be a big heter that the food would not become usser. Gevaldik. Okay. Let's now go on to Seif Hey. What we're going to discuss now is the halachos of when do we say a Jew and cooked, and when do we say a goy actually cooked? What do I mean by that? There are times the Gemara tells us on La Mechesa Amid Aleph that the goy did the cooking, but he didn't at all intend to cook for the Jew. Now, whether the tam of Bishul Akum is Mishum Chasnus, or the tam is Shemi Yachalenu Davar Iser, it only makes sense that that gzeira would exist if the goy has intention to cook for you. What if the goy didn't have intention? The Gemara gives a wild example. The Gemara says, what happens if you have a swamp, and the goy is burning down the reeds in the swamp, and what gets cooked is a delicacy. What's the delicacy? So this is from Harrison Ford. What's his name? What's his real name, Harrison Ford? Oh, goodness. The actor. Indiana Jones, right. So this is from straight out of Indiana Jones. So what's a delicacy? Grasshoppers. These grasshoppers are a delicacy. So the guy burnt down these reeds in the swamp, but he killed the grasshoppers. So says the Gemara, in such a case, that would qualify as bishul akum shelo bekavana. That qualifies as bishul akum shelo bekavana. So zok de mechaber, sif hey, akum shebishul velo niskavin lebishul, a guy that cooked, but he didn't intend to cook. Mutter, that would be mutter. Keitzad, akum shehitzis ar, if the akum was started a fire. Ba'agam kidei lahaver ha'chatsir, v'nispashu bo'chalim ha'reilu mutarim. Vafil b'makum shala shulchan lachim. Even if these grasshoppers are all shulchan lachim, v'chenu charach harosh la'avir seir mutalecho roshe iznaim shenitzul b'shas acharicha. Also, if he singed the hair of an animal and then you want to eat it, so then in such a case, not subject to bishul akum. Avlam kivein l'shem bishul. But if he intended for bishul kagon sheisik katan levashel, but and he cooked up the oven to cook, v'haya bo basar tchila v'nitzla. So if the guy intended to cook something, but he didn't know your food, your Jewish food was inside, since the guy intended to cook, so then in such a case, the halacha is that it'll be subject to the halacha of Bishul. By the way, the poskim are medayik, the Aruch HaShulchan makes an interesting diuk. Chalkas Yamin is not so sure that you have to be machmir for this, that the Mechaber said, kigon shehisi katana levashel bo. As long as the guy heated it up for cooking, even if the guy didn't have food inside right now, but if the guy was intending eventually to cook, that enough will qualify as kavana levashel, and that will be considered bishul akum. The Chalkas Yamin quotes those who disagree with the Aruch HaShulchan. It has to be that he already has food inside. But the pashtus of the Mechaber, I think there's room to be machmir to say that the Mechaber meant that anytime you have intention to cook, that's going to be enough to qualify as bishul akum. Here, there is an interesting taz, which is going to dovetail with the Ramah later on. Let's take a look at the taz, Sif Katan Dal. It says the taz, ki yifshar shalo yichate, kasa v'darkei Moshe, Shamina mikan afilo kiven lahato ide chitu izu el asa below kavana. Oh wait. I'm sorry. I want to do the taz hey first, and then go back to the taz dalit. Let's do the taz hey. Afo pishlo kiven says the taz betur kasav lufichach im yada shayibasa betanur. Afilu chamamo liyavsho bo kli osur sheikh shinon shemekiven gam lebishul. Says the Taz, the halacha is that as long as the guy knows that there is Jewish food in the tanur, even if the guy intends to do something else, like to heat up a peg, nevertheless, we're choshesh that the guy is going to have kavana for bishul. So anytime the guy has kavana, in such a case, the halacha is one has to be machmir. If the guy did not have kavana, so then it's going to be okay. Tov. So that's what emerges from the mechaber hey and the taz sifkaten hey. The taz asks akasha, but he ultimately leaves with what he has said before. As long as we have a chash that the guy had kavana, in such a case we have to be machmir. However, if you take a look in the Ramah in Dalid, the Ramah discusses the inverse. The Ramah discusses, and that will bring us to the Taz Dalid. We have to do the Ramah first. The Ramah says the following phenomena. We've been discussing up until now that you need the kavana of the guy in order to qualify as Bishul Akum. What about the inverse? What about the guy cooked, but the Jew also threw something in? Now, next time, Emir Tzeh Hashem, after Kabbalah HaTorah, what we'll discuss is a famous, famous question, a very, very big and broad question. How much of the cooking does a Jew need to do to be mafkia from Bishul Akum? So we're going to right now start from the most lenient position of the Ramah. We're not talking Lemaisa yet, but the most lenient position of the Ramah that says that as long as the Jew does something significant, so then in such a case, even if the guy does something, that's enough to be mafkir from Bishul Akum. So the Ramah in Sif Dalit comments as follows. Va'afil l'chatchila, no'agin l'hakel b'beis Yisrael, sha'ashvachos va'avodim mevashon b'beis Yisrael. Another heter, says the Ramah, in general, that's relied on for housekeepers. What's that? Ki efshar shelo yichat echam ibnei habayis ma'at. Once upon a time, the stove was the center of everything. And since the stove was the center of everything, why do I say it's the center of everything? Because, do you guys still in baseball, you still refer to it? When I was a baseball fan, they used to call it the Baseball Stove League. Why was it called the Stove League? What's the pshat, the Stove League? The idea of stove was, the Stove League was, that baseball continues even when you have to sit by the stove. That we're still already, we show that we're being shleishes yimei hagbala. We're already preparing for spring season, or spring training. We're already in the mindset. So what was the omek of the Stove League? The omek of the words the stove was that life used to revolve around the stove. During the winter, everything around the stove. Why? Because you cooked there, but you also stayed warm there. That was the kavana. It was mechamim during the winter. That's what you spoke about around the stove. Nachzar lin yaneinu, so the stove was once the center part of life. So since the stove was the center part of life, so then it's not possible, says the Ramah, that a Jew is not going to throw something in. In other words, because even if he's not cooking, he's going to throw things in as well. Clearly, this Ramah is not relevant today, that today not everything revolves around the stove. We don't come home and all sit around the stove. And to say that it's e'efshesh lo yichat echam ibnei abayis ma'at, that would be very, very difficult. But once upon a time, the Ramah said that. Oh, okay. So Ramah says it's not possible that a Jew is not going to be chote. Mashma, that once a Jew is chote, so then in such a case, that would be mafkia bishul akum, even if the Jew didn't intend to be matir the food that was inside, right? The Ramah was saying that the guy put in to cook. But since Jews are going to be chota there, then automatically that's going to be mekel. So take a look at the Taz Dalid. Kosav bedarke Moshe. Shamina mikan afil lo kiven lahatra al yedei chitui zu. He didn't intend to matter the food with this chitui. El aso below kavana de mutter. That when it comes to the Jew being matir, according to the Ramah, all you need to do is have the Jew do a maisa. He's aware that he's doing a maisa. He has to be aware that he's doing a maisa. But once he's aware that he's doing a maisa, so then in such a case, that would be enough to be matir. What comes out then, according to the Ramah, we're going to see in a moment, it's the Ramah l'shitaso, that the Ramah is going to have, we're going to have two different standards of kavana. When it comes to the goy, then the goy needs to have kavana that he's cooking for you. If the guy, the guy needs to have kavana that he's cooking. If the guy doesn't have kavana that he's cooking, so then in such a case, it's not going to be subject to bishul akum. When it comes to a Yisrael, so then in such a case, we learned, according to the Ramah, that the halacha is that it's going to be mutter bebeis Yisrael once upon a time, because it's eafsher that the Yisrael is not going to be chote. And the Ramah repeats this, as the Taz points out in Dalet, the Ramah repeats this in Siv Zayin. In Siv Zayin, the Ramah says, Vafilu chitui belo kavana mahani umol. Even if the chitui is done without kavana, that is going to help. It's going to be acceptable in terms of bishul akum, and that's going to be enough to be mafkia the chshash of bishul akum. So it comes out is we have, if you will, an inconsistency in terms of the standard. To further goy, he has to be mechavin to be mevashel. According to the Ramah, one does not. However, if you take a look both at the shach on that Ramah and Sifkat and Yud, as well as continuing on with this Taz and Dalid, he then says, ubi v'isr v'eter kosav, achizor sh'osa achitu yol l'sakein o'esh, v'yol l'mar bishul al yidei Yisrael. And the shach says it even stronger, shetzarech in Yud, shetzarech yichavein l'sayeh b'tikun o'esh l'hachshir, that the Jew needs to be mesakein l'hachshir. Now, I saw that many poskim understand that what that means is that the Jew has to be mechavein to be machshir the food. If his kavan is not to be machshir the food, then that wouldn't be enough. So the way it seems that the Shach and the Taz understood is that this was a machlokis between the Ramah and the Hagos Isser V'Heter. Hagos Isser V'Heter is not written by the Isser V'Heter himself. It's the Hagos that are in the back, but clearly the Taz and Ramah both take it, and Shach both take it seriously, that they disagree with the Ramah. That the Yisrael needs to have kavana to be matir the food. If it's, he didn't have kavana to be matir the food, it would be usher. In terms of how we paskin on this shaila, so if one takes a look in the Otzer Bishul Ha'akum, that sefer that I told you, that's this fantastic Otzer, so there, he quotes it as two different deos. He's not machria. On page Amud Kuf Pei Zayin, Yesh Omrim Shekishi Yisrael Mechate Becholam Osa Chitui Mahani Afilu Belo Kavana Lahatir Umikol Mokom Tzarech Sheyechavein Bechitui L'Tikun Abishol V'Yesh Omrim Shetzarech Lechavein Sheosen Chitui Yisayeya B'Tikun Ha'esh Lahachshir. So the Sefer Otzer Bishul Ha'akum says that you need to have kavana to be mesakin some bishul, but you don't have to be aware that you're being matir a bishul akum, or you even have to be aware that you're being matir a bishul akum. I have a few problems with the way he presents it. It would seem to me that the Ramah is being matir in all instances. The Ramah is saying that as long as the fellow is being, there is a Jew that's going to be mechate, in such a case, one could be mekel. It would seem to me that, according to the Ramah, that would be the halacha. The Shach and the Taz both present that the Hagos Isser V'Heter say that one needs to have the Yisrael have kavana to be doing the bishul. And then there's a question of what it means, the word lahachshir. Whether lahachshir means to be machshir the food that he knows is treif, or lahachshir means to make the food better. I would also argue, if you look up the Hagos Isser V'Heter, that you look up over there, you will see, I don't think it's so muchrach even that the Hagos Isser V'Heter disagrees with the Ramah. It could be that lahachshir just means that he's doing something to improve the fire or the food. And therefore, it seems to me that the Sefer Otzer Bishulei Akum is being more machmir than necessary within the Shitas HaRamah. And that is that if you hold like the Ramah, that as long as the Jew does something to do an improvement to the fire, so then in such a case, the Ramah holds that one could be Mekel. Am I convinced that the Taz and Shach are wrong? That's very, very hard. to say that the Taz and Shach are wrong. So therefore, I would come out that even if the Taz and Shach are right, that the Agos Yisr V'Heter disagrees with the Ramah and holds that you need to have Kavana for Bishul, and maybe even as far as the Sefer Otzer Bishul Akum goes and says that you need to have Kavana to be Machshir, you need to be aware that's Bishul Akum and you're doing Bishul in the opposite direction. Nevertheless, we're talking about Bishul Akum, which is a Din D'Rabbanan. So if we're talking about Bishul Akum, which is a Din D'Rabbanan, so then if you follow the Ramah in regards to Dinei Bishul Akum, that's a big if that we'll get to next time. It would seem to me that anything that a Jew does would be enough to be Matir Bishul Akum. So what comes out the crunch is that even though the many Svarim are more Machmir than the simple reading of the Ramah, I think the Ramah is not Yotzei Midei Pshuto. The simple reading of the Ramah is that once a Jew does something, as long as his Kavana is to improve the fire of that's there in that stove, so then in such a case it would seem to me that the Ramah is Mekel. The Shach and Taz say that there are others who are more Machmir, so much so that many understand the Shach and Taz are saying that according to the more stringent opinion that goes Yisr V'Heter, you need to have intention to be Machshir the food. The Jew needs to have intention to be Machshir the food. I'm not convinced that's the Pashus that goes Yisr V'Heter. And we have a general rule of Safik D'Rabbanan L'Kula, and that is, if you take the Ramah as a legitimate Shita in Hilchos Bishul Akum, which we'll discuss on Monday, then that I think you could even be more Mekel than most of the Svarim say that one should be. Now this is sort of a lead-up to what we're going to discuss in Mirtzei Hashem next week. The big, massive sugya is that the Ramah has a Kula on top of Kula on top of Kula. And this Kula that we just discussed is another one of the Ramah's Kulas. And that is that the Ramah holds that as long as the Jew does some type of Bishul, bang, Mafkia, that's Mafkia already from Bishul Akum. We're going to see that the Mechaber is much more Machmir, and the Pashtus of the Gemaras are like the Mechaber and not like the Ramah. But once you have the Ramah's Terutzim, whatever the Ramah's Terutzim are, then it would seem to me that the Ramah over here is being Lashitaso and being more Mekel. So Mirtzei Hashem, after the Yom Tov of Kabbalah Satera, we'll continue with this. I'm glad we stopped in time for the next year. So Mirtzei Hashem, Monday, B'siyata D'Shmaya, we'll get into the real, real famous sugya of what is necessary for a Jew to do to be mafkia from Bishul Akum. For a guy, the guy needs to have kavana. If the guy doesn't have kavana, so then in such a case, for Bishul, then in such a case, it's not going to be Bishul Akum. A Jew, do you need kavana? So we thought that the pashtus of the Ramah is that you don't, and it could very well be that even that goes to Sefer Heter say you don't, and therefore the Jew is doing any maisa koldehu, that is going to be enough.